Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. This is a show about writing love letters. Hopefully you will, our listeners will be motivated to do it and learn how to do more of them. And we always say what you feel while you still have the chance. Why not share what you feel with somebody, stamp it and mail it, and make somebody else's day richer?
Right. And this can be to anyone at all. Love letters we sometimes think of as romantic, but they're to anyone that we want to share gratitude, appreciation to.
Yes, and most of our experience is that the smaller proportion of the letters are really romantic. Love takes so many forms. Friendship, gratitude to absolutely anybody, teachers, doctors, friends, parents, children, anything at all. You put your truth in a loving, compassionate way on paper. By us, that makes a love letter.
Right. And if you've been listening to our show for some time, you know that there's a whole array of love letters.
Yes, which you can take a listen to, and Teresa will tell you about that later. So right now, why don't we start, and we have a wonderful guest, and her name is Natalia Olegovna Budanova, a 17-year-old high school student, and I'm just going to go right to you and ask you to talk about your life. Like everybody, I know you've had challenges and things, probably difficulties that had to be overcome, things you had to get used to in life like everybody. So why don't you talk about how you came to this country?
All right. First of all, hi.
Hi.
Well, when I was actually born in Kyiv, Ukraine, and it was rather anti-Semitic. I didn't feel any because I was quite young, but my mother would tell me that every now and then we'd have a swastika put on the door. And we were well off. My grandfather owned a couple companies. But it was still horrible. And
reason enough to leave.
Yes, of course. And my mother wouldn't want me to go through the same prejudices that she and her sister had went through.
Mm-hmm.
My mother actually, her boyfriend broke up with her because he wanted to go farther in life and she was Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't be with her.
I see.
So
you came here at what age?
I was four.
Four?
Yes.
Oh, you really were young.
I was young.
So you don't remember the journey out?
No, actually, surprisingly enough, I do. I mean, I remember parts of the long flight.
Mm-hmm.
I remember pieces of our old apartment, walking through the hallway, you know, random memories that pop up
Sure.
here and there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the cab ride to our new house.
In San Francisco?
Yes, strangely enough.
Uh-huh.
And I actually don't live that far from my first house here.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got to America, we came with my entire family. It was my
How
grandfather,
lucky.
My grandmother,
yeah.
my aunt, my uncle, my older cousin, and both my parents. And we've had two new additions since then, my younger brother and my younger cousin. And we still all live together.
So you're 17. How old is your younger brother?
He's 8.
Oh, so you were... Like, yes, I see that. Nine
mm-hmm.
when he was born.
Yeah.
How nice. Okay, go ahead.
So we still live together in the same house. It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But when we first moved here, a lot of my grandfather's money or the money that we did have back in Russia went a lot to the tickets, to moving,
mm-hmm.
to all of this. And when we did come here, we did have enough, but my grandfather did not let us live comfortably. He said, if we want to make it, we have to make money. We can't rely on what we have. And so for the first couple...
So in other words, don't squander it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Make it last or...
Well, save it. Mm-hmm. If you don't need it right now, don't use it, especially in a new country.
How smart.
And good advice for us all.
Who live in old countries. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
And
when you hear about credit card debt, you wonder why everybody isn't taught that. But go ahead.
Well, yes. I remember our first house, it wasn't even a house, it was a very small apartment, which 8 people fit into, and there were like 2 rooms. And
was that difficult?
I remember at times my mother crying.
For what she didn't have?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, not even, just for the difficulties we went through. I mean, she was very happy with her family. She told me yesterday, actually, that she's a lot happier than... a lot of people would be.
Oh, good for her that she knows that.
Yeah. And I shared a room with my parents and my older cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember so much fun with it all. I do remember sometimes there being dark periods where we would be upset and we'd have troubles with money.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. And
did both your parents work? Did they find jobs?
They found jobs right away. My mother became, well, not right away. My mother was a beautician of sorts,
mm-hmm.
and she put my father through school with the money she got, And after that, she went she's actually in school right now, and my father became a QA engineer.
What is that?
It's on computer software.
Oh,
it's
uh-huh.
quality assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother...
That's what he went to school for?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now my mother is studying to be a nurse. So.
How wonderful. So this is just a wonderful, inspirational story of immigrants coming to America and making absolutely the best of every opportunity.
I suppose
working
you can
hard.
Say that. Yeah. I mean, they worked nights. My father, while he was in school, worked as a pizza delivery man. I remember my mom still now complains. She's lost the weight, but like he would come home with these huge pizzas in the middle of the night,
uh-huh.
and me and my mom would just chow down on them,
oh.
and like we gained so much weight. And it was fun times.
Yes. So you must have lost the weight too. You're gorgeous. You
oh.
look just perfect.
Well, I was young. Fat
yes.
metabolism.
What,
right.
what was your father's profession in Russia?
He was in the military.
Uh-huh.
He was actually in a very high position, and when we first moved here, he thought he would pursue that here, but he was supposed to start all the way at the bottom.
Yes.
And he was not willing to go through that, especially since he's been in the military since he was about 12.
That's a very Russian thing.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. 12. My goodness.
He
yes.
went to military school, and as it,
oh,
his
I
father
see.
Worked there. It was uh-huh. it was a family situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the track was then an officer. When
yes.
When you start that young, then you
he
become
was,
an officer.
He would have, yes, he would have been something, I'm not sure on this,
sure.
you know,
something
rank
very
anything,
high up.
But
yeah.
he would have been higher up than what he had to start with.
Yes.
So he decided not to. He studied to become a QA, and now we get where
so, we're so you're being here at 4, although you lived a life that was reminiscent of newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like becoming American for you as a 4-year-old and now as a teenager?
Well, I first immediately, my mother put me into a Jewish school
because
we didn't even have those in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
She was so surprised.
Because you weren't allowed to express any religious affiliation?
We were, but we were looked down upon for
uh-huh.
it. If a mother and father are of different nationalities,
mm-hmm.
one is Jewish, one is Christian,
mm-hmm.
the child gets to decide if they want to be Christian or Jewish to put on their passport,
oh.
and almost more than anything, they always chose Christian.
Sure, because the other wasn't helpful.
Yeah. My uh-huh. aunt was actually rejected from university, even though she had one of the top highest marks it has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
If she was rejected because she was Jewish.
Well, that's why a lot of people left.
Yes.
I mean,
was,
that's why, we, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about your friendships and what school was like. And
Well, after Jewish school, I went to a public school. It's
mm-hmm.
called Argonne Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in second grade. And I've never met anyone English speaking. And my English was very broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met this girl named Greta.
Oh, in Argonne.
Yes.
In grammar school. Uh-huh.
Yes. And she was my first English-speaking
oh.
friend. And she spoke Russian, too, so it was, like, so perfect.
Uh-huh.
And she...
Was her English better than yours?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Much better. She gave me the ropes on everything.
Well, let's have those.
And
how old were you?
Oh, I was about 8.
Okay, so what are the ropes for an 8-year-old? What do you need to learn?
Well, from someone who doesn't speak English.
Yes.
You learn... She told me the kickball field. She gave me how this is the first time I had to call a teacher Mr. or Mrs. And that was a complete strange. It was so strange to me. I couldn't handle it.
What did you do in the Soviet in Ukraine?
In Ukraine, it was always we just say the last name.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So that would be
well.
If I were your teacher, it would just be
Gela.
And that's all, huh?
Yeah.
That does sound odd to me. I guess I'd need somebody to show me the ropes.
Or it would be teacher. Or it was. Uh-huh. It wasn't anything Mrs. or Mr. They didn't have that.
I see. For anybody?
Not really. I mean, they have tavarish,
mm-hmm.
which is
right.
sort of like Mr.
Like comrade?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But not really.
I see. Okay. So go ahead. What other ropes?
And so it was Mr. Lewis, and I always made mistakes. She would always help me out. She introduced me to a whole bunch of people, and the first day I went to that school, I came in the middle of the year. There was a field trip, and she was my buddy. And so we were walking throughout San Francisco. And
wait, so even when you came to the school new, you didn't know anybody, your English was not good, you didn't have to have those few days of being isolated and...
No, she took me completely under her wing right
How
away.
How lovely.
It was very nice. And I remember the next day, which wasn't a field trip day, I come out for lunch. I have my little tray. I don't know where to go. There's this
right.
big playground in front of me. I'm about to start crying.
Yes.
And Greta comes up to me. She's like, come sit with us and her friends. And it was so lovely.
Really? Because that's a horrible... I mean, I think everybody listening, everybody alive would know that feeling
mm-hmm.
of being someplace new. mm-hmm. as a child or a teenager and not knowing where to go. And that just hot tears spring into your eyes.
I suppose. I had that, you know, gut-wrenching feeling uh-huh. at that moment where you get a little bit queasy and you're like, I don't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
And she was right there, and I'm so grateful to her.
So how did that... What else did you learn? I'm so interested.
What
About dress and about friendships and about how to behave. I mean, let's talk about that.
Well, in Russian society, the little girls always wore tights and this little dress situation going on, and uh-huh. that's what I always wear to school. And then slowly but surely, Greta taught me how not to do it. And she was like, oh, you should wear jeans. And so we bought jeans, and it was quite lovely. It was really fun. I mean, she basically paved the road for me,
yes.
if you would like to say that.
Yes. So, I mean, I can see how chic you are now. So you apparently learned very well in your nail polish and your eye makeup. Is that from your mother?
I suppose.
She teach you how to do that?
My mother was very precise. I mean, she would never let me dress sloppy.
Right. Yeah. So go ahead.
Excuse me.
So how did life progress then?
Well, after elementary grammar school, we sort of separated because she went to a different school.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
was that hard for you? Was that sad?
I had already adapted by fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I made my own friends. Me and Greta were still good friends, but we drifted apart, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as it was hard for me, I remember the last day of school, we were all hugging.
Yes.
It was graduation. We were all crying.
Oh, from grammar school.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was just, we were very young.
Yes, yes.
But it's still such a big deal.
Of course, yeah.
And so...
You don't seem very young when you're actually 11 yourself.
Yes, right. You seem very adult, and you know everything in the world, and you're about to take it on.
Yes.
And I suppose it was hard... But I was under the impression that we would keep in touch.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't think that we would suddenly stop being friends just because we went to different schools.
Oh.
And sadly, that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a conscious effort to stop being friends on either of our sides. We just
sure.
stopped contact. And then I came to Hebrew Academy in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who's my classmate?
Oh, were you just thrilled? Were you...
I didn't even recognize her, but she recognized me right away.
Oh, that's cute. Why didn't you recognize her? Because she was womanly all of a sudden,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, because, I mean, look at from 11 years old to about, let's say, 14.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's a big change in a girl's life. I mean, she became womanly, her facial features changed, her hair was cut, she always had hair dangling down to her knees, now
oh.
it was by her shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't recognize her right away. And I come into the lobby of Hebrew Academy mm-hmm. for initiation.
Orientation. Yes,
I like saying initiation.
Oh, okay.
Because it was sort of like it.
Okay.
And we were sitting there, she was sitting there, and I come in, and she's like, Natasha? I'm like, yes.
Uh-huh.
I didn't recognize her, and she's like, do you know who I am? I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
And you didn't expect to see her
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I haven't seen this girl in 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, it's me, Greta. And her mom was in the room. And she says I screamed so loud
I
she
bet.
Thought people in China heard me. I run up to this girl. I hug her. And we're like, and we're still so close. We have different personalities than we did in 11th grade, than when we were 11.
Yes. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that in a minute. I think we're going to have a word from Teresa here.
Just to remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time. We hope you'll join us. And if you'd like to catch our previous shows, please log on to www.loveletterslive.com. You can catch all the wonderful guests on our past programs.
Yes. And even if you don't listen to every single one of them, you can see the array of different kinds of love letters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you
and
mm-hmm. ask you, as if I couldn't guess, but I don't want to presume, who gets your love letter today?
Greta Medzikowska.
Okay. So the first thing, you said something here that I think is really interesting and really nice to acknowledge. I don't think a good love letter needs to include so much and specifics. And we've said before on this show, and of course I say it all the time, you're so special doesn't mean squat. Because it doesn't let a person know what you really remember. And memories and specifics and how you see a person, that's what really makes, I think, a beautiful love letter. So say her name again. It's so nice.
Greta Medzikowska.
Medzikowska. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are the, let's say, three things you would want most to tell Greta in this love letter, even if you said them before out loud? And have you?
A couple of those things, yes.
Okay, because once you put it down on paper, that person has it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes on a different reality when it's in writing, in your handwriting,
mm-hmm.
and mailed as a gift.
I remember you came to our school, and yes. Greta mailed me a letter, and I have it up on my wall right now.
Oh, how wonderful. That's right. You each did one to the person on your left. Okay. So it was nice?
It was so nice.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay, so...
And notice where she's kept it.
Yes. Yes.
You've kept it where you can see it for a long time. Isn't mm-hmm. that so true of love letters?
People do that. They say, I'm framing it and putting up. I want everybody to see it. And I think the reason is they're not so common anymore.
That's
when
true.
You get one, it's like a love certificate. You know, yeah. It's like an award. It's a real gift. Mm-hmm. Because what's your mail like every day when you come home from school?
It's bills from my mother and father. It's maybe some college things that
for
I
you.
Fill out.
Right.
That's pretty much all that I get.
Right. And you don't get something in a beautiful handwriting. And
yeah, okay. If I ever do get something.
Right. So our goal here is to change the world one letter at a time and get people to send that joy and love out. So what are the three things you would most want to tell Greta? And I'm going to take notes for you give it to you. Go ahead.
I would like to say thank you so much for helping me adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because that she did it. She brought me into the American world,
mm-hmm.
into the English-speaking society.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would like to say I'm so happy that we did come back together, that we were reunited. Because we're both different people than what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy that we're friends right now. I actually spoke with her last night.
Does she know you're doing this?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
but
good.
She doesn't know it's about her.
Okay, good. So glad you're back together. And say that part again.
That we were reunited.
Yes.
And since we have both different personalities than we did when we were 11 years old.
How? Now talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a nice thing to say. How is she different?
Well, she wasn't quiet, I would say, but she wasn't outspoken as she is now. She's very outspoken. She's not shy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. You can always count on Greta to speak her mind.
Okay, so let's talk about the value of that.
Well, she's not one of those type of people that if you say something or you do something and it bothers her, she'll just stay quiet about it and fester and let it fester inside her. But she'll let you know right away that's not cool.
So you always know where you stand. You don't ever have to worry.
Yes. She never plays games.
Okay. What else?
I would like to say thanks for remembering me because we still talk about this, how I had a lisp and I couldn't pronounce the letter R when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
I was one of those cute little children who couldn't speak properly uh-huh. at all. Because R was never even said in Russia. It was a R.
Right.
And,
yeah. Oh, so you needed the American R.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I couldn't do it. I would say the W note
uh-huh,
instead.
Uh-huh.
And Greta loved it, how I would always call her Gweta.
Oh. That's a cute thing. Yes.
And she actually wrote that in her letter, too.
Uh-huh. So she loved you as is.
Yeah, uh-huh. She never... I mean, we fight every now and then. Not even fight, I don't want to say that, but we disagree.
Kinds of things do you disagree about?
Nothing in particular. It would be things such as we would be on different debate teams in a school, and we'd be speaking against one another, and it gets really... heated.
Uh-huh, sure.
And so we would bring it outside the debate as well and be like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. But,
uh-huh.
I mean, it wouldn't last more than a day.
Okay, good. So that's another really wonderful thing to say in a love letter.
Sounds like you respect one another.
Oh, we do. If there's one thing we do, we respect one another.
Okay. And does she do anything now in particular that makes you particularly happy? And what about how she looks and her style? And would you say anything about those kind of things in a letter?
Of course I would. Well, her style is crazy, I'd like to say.
How?
She is the peacock of our school.
Oh, really?
She wears
in what way?
Bright, vibrant colors, and she doesn't stop wearing them. she wears really... She has a few really expensive clothes that have all these fringes and random beads.
Oh.
And she's really, I don't even know how to say it. I want to say chic,
uh-huh.
but at the same time, I don't. She's kind of punk chic. Right
well, that's chic.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yes, yes. And you like that look on her.
I can't imagine her in anything else.
Uh-huh. And you don't dress that way. You're more
it's not my
tailored.
Style. I'm a
yes.
little bit, yeah.
Yes.
I prefer...
So you're a nice kind of combination together.
We do. We complement each other very well.
Ah, okay. Okay.
The best thing I would say about her is that I can trust her.
Uh-huh.
I will tell her my problems that and I'm not really... I don't like other people knowing my business mm-hmm. that much.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a problem, I will keep it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I will not speak it out unless it seriously bothers me.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell her anything, and I know nobody will find out about it.
Oh, how nice. Okay. So the intimate information stops there.
Yes. I've cried on her shoulder more than once, and she likewise.
Yes. Okay.
Where do you think this generous nature of hers comes from?
I mean, I know both her parents, and they are very amazing. They're very kind to me and everything. She knows me. She knows my mother. We know each other's families. I suppose the kind nature just comes because she's an amazing person.
That's really nice. That's a wonderful thing. So her edge and her edginess and some of this speaking out and not letting things fester mm-hmm. could look like one thing, but you know what it really is.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely. Well, I'm going to give you these notes, and the reason I take notes is sometimes people forget the beautiful things they've said when they're talking fast, so I tried to get as much down as I could, because when you're writing a love letter, I think it's important to make notes of all the things you feel and remember, and then take it from there. So what kind of stationery will you use? I always ask that.
I think for her, I'm going to get a big pink paper with a large rose in the middle and a little, I don't know, something not usual. Because she's not usual, so I'm not going to get her something plain and you can see everywhere. In fact, I think I might make it.
Oh, how lovely. That's wonderful. So that's an extra gift.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you say something pink with a big rose, it seems to reflect her colorful, vibrant.
Yes. So it has to be vibrant. It has to be unique because that's what she is.
That's lovely. So you're gonna use stationery that reflects her.
Yes.
Rather than you, and either of those is acceptable. Mm-hmm. But it's an extra generosity, I think, when you take somebody else's soul into account.
Of course.
Okay. And will you get this to her before this airs?
Oh, of course.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And although we never send a love letter for what we're going to get in return, it's just a gift.
I don't expect anything.
I know you don't, of course. But what I wanted to say was, if anything really astounding happens from this that you want to share with us so we can let our listeners know, we always like that.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. Thank you, darling girl, for coming and sharing your life with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, well, I have one more question before we let you go. At least one more question. How will you close the letter? Because sometimes we have guests who are saying goodbye to someone who's, you know, near death or whatever. Or we have guests that sometimes write letters to people that are already gone or whatever. But this is obviously a person that you want to have a continuing relationship with. So I'm just curious if you thought about how you'll close the letter.
Or open it.
Or open it.
Now that you're sticking.
Well, how would I do this? I would most likely the beginning of it would be very heartfelt, and it would continue to say memories and stuff that's just awesome about her. And I think about the last paragraph.
But you would say, "Dear Greta." I mean, would start.
Of course.
Right, yes.
Of course. I might even change her name to Greta.
Yes, of course. Yes.
But the last paragraph is going to be something completely that doesn't work with the entire thing.
In what way?
I would say, Greta, I would say something about going to the bathroom or our sleepovers. I'll mention something.
Yes.
We watched The Exorcist together, and we both were terrified out of our minds for the rest of the night.
Exactly.
And I'll say, look behind you, The Exorcist is watching. Just something quirky to end it with, to make her smile, not only, oh, this was sweet kind of smile, but also, oh my gosh, that was so funny and sweet. I love her.
Yes. And that's such an important thing, the specific memories, because they're only yours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And how fortunate you are to have such a friend like this. And really, I think
how fortunate she is.
It's quite uncommon, actually, for someone at that age to come over and be so generous and take on someone. Because I remember very well, if you can allow me to speak for a moment, my family changed homes when I was 7, and I was the new girl in school when school had already started. And as you said, you can remember your first encounter with. I can still remember the first recess when I was on the playground and several little girls got together and said, held hands and looked at me and said, let's don't play with her. Was how many years ago? I don't even want to tell you. And still, it's like it was yesterday.
Oh, they should be in jail.
Oh, my gosh.
So how nice that you had this. And it's obvious it's made a big difference in your life.
It has. It's seriously, at such a young age, it's honestly helped make who I am today.
Yes, and for her to have the insight to know to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's, maybe that goes in the letter, too.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, at this point, we often have a Dear Janet letter. Our listeners write in and ask Janet questions, and we encourage all of you to do that. And this is a letter of a bit of a serious nature. Janet, what would you say to this? Dear Janet, a dear relative by marriage will soon have a birthday, and I need to know what to write. Jen, not a real name, is bipolar. Her current severe depressive stage has been going on for more than a year. She doesn't leave the house, and she doesn't take phone calls. She speaks in monosyllables, and she refuses to see a doctor. Among her other feelings of sadness, I think she feels worse around me because of the things that I've achieved in my life and the things she once hoped for but have given up. When Jen is in her normal manic stage, she's full of energy and fun. I miss that side of her, but I wonder if I should say that. What wishes can I send without making her feel worse about herself?
Oh, yeah, that is so sad. That is so sad. I think the love letter is right there, hidden in the question, and not even so very hidden. I think the best thing to do is focus on her normal stage where she's full of energy and fun, and that she misses this friend misses this side of her. And I think, why not just say that? Why not just say, it's your birthday coming up. I know life is difficult for you right now, and I look to the time when you're feeling better, and like the old or real you or the happier you, when you're full of energy and fun, I miss that side of you. And I'm just here waiting for it to come back and for you to want to see me, and I'm here whenever you're ready. I think just to acknowledge that. I think mm-hmm. the more we just acknowledge true things, the better. When we try to cover things up, it just...
Oh, there's probably too much pretending going on.
Oh,
here.
It's painful, and it just... There's a stench in not telling the truth that just is damaging.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's just the perfect thing to do.
Okay. Well, we encourage all of our listeners, if you have questions, please send them to info@loveletterslive.com. Janet will answer them on the air. If they're too personal, she'll answer them via email.
Mm-hmm.
And please tell us about love letters that you've received that are also welcoming and warming, like the
yes.
one.
Anything you'd like
today.
To share and that you'd like us to share on the air, we'd be happy to.
Okay. And we hope that you'll join us every week at this time on this program, Love Letters Live.
And we will see you. We will talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just goodbye for now from Janet
and Teresa.
Bye.
And remember, if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, every love letter is a special occasion.
Thank you.
So, bye-bye.